Peace Health Peace Harbor Medical Center presents Doc Talk, an informative health series educating our community on the services provided at Peace Health. We will begin with our host, George Henry, after these messages.
At some point in her life, one out of every eight women will get breast cancer. One out of eight. Most women can beat it, but only with early detection. Don't let breast cancer stop you. Mammograms save lives.
Better total care. Peace Harbor Imaging now has digital mammograms. Get one.
With flu season just around the corner, now is the prime time to schedule your annual flu shot. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control recommend that everyone aged 6 months and older, and especially older adults, get vaccinated against the flu. Peace Health Medical Group in Florence has adult and pediatric flu shots available. Call 541-997-7134 to make an appointment for your flu shot today. It only takes a minute and helps protect you, your family, and the community this flu season. So call 541-997-7134 today.
It has been a whole year since we've talked administration over at Peace Harbor Hospital, part of the Peace Health Group. And so it is coming up on 1 year anniversary with Jason Hawkins, who is the CAO. He is with me today. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, George. Thanks for having me over.
Well, good, good. Let's talk about this last year. You got your sea legs now?
Yeah, I think that's a good way of putting it, being on the coast. That's a good enjoying being here. Deanne and I moved here, got into our house about 6 months ago. So it's been was a good summer. Owen came down, spent the summer with us. He's a junior at the University of Oregon and got himself a job at Resto Bar, clearing tables and
seating customers. I remember,
custom.
I met him, yeah.
To
meet him, that's cool.
So it was a good summer for him. Deanne and I have enjoyed you know, the lakes here and walking on the beach and we made it down to Crater Lake over the summer as well. So it's been a good situation for Deanne and I. Really enjoyed it.
So you were able to find a house or did you build one?
We found a house, yeah. Bought a place down Wohink Lake. So a bit of a fixer upper, but we got into it and
those are always great.
Always, yeah. So got a lot of character to it.
Well, I'll give you my card, you know, in case you need any help fixing stuff.
All right, sounds good.
So then the year as far as the hospital goes, how is this different than your last tenure?
Actually, the hospitals are very similar in size, 21-bed critical access hospital, almost similar size communities, physician practices, emergency department, a lot of the same issues that you're challenged with in areas that are a little bit removed from the tertiary care hospitals. So very similar.
Are some of the major issues having the finances for staffing and things like that, or is it more of community activity and how to bring all that together?
Generally the issues are the same whether you're in urban or rural. You know, it's physician recruitment, it's cost of capital, declining reimbursements, you know, drug shortages, those kind of things. So really being part of Peace Health, the system, really helps mitigate some of those things. Our access to capital is competitive in terms of interest rates. Being able to use best practice for clinical excellence is very important for us, clinical education. Recruiting, you know, this past year, Nina was just going over with us in a meeting, 18 new providers in 2018.
Wow.
Yeah, the year before was 9. Prior to that, it wasn't as many, but the last 2 years, last 24 months have been pretty remarkable. So adding a new surgeon, Dr. Raymer's coming in January, added a podiatrist in July, and Dr. Wilkerson, and several primary care providers as well. So
now one of the biggest issues, and I'll speak for it and you can tell me if I'm wrong, is that in communities like this, sometimes you're not as busy as you are in an urban setting. So you still have to maintain staffing and stuff like that. What do you do on low census? Do you get reimbursed? Is there money that comes in from out to keep people?
Well, yeah, the designation we have here and the Medicare, Medicaid programs are certain designations. So in areas what they would term as low population density, you know, versus an urban area that has high population density, there's a designation for critical access hospital. So the hospital I was at in Pennsylvania was designated as a critical access hospital. Peace Harbor is designated as one too. So it allows you to pay a competitive rate, have benefits, allows for some of those standby costs to be there. It's not completely insulated from those issues, but it certainly gives you a fighting chance to be able to staff reasonably well. We've been able to add some growth in the past year. This helps stabilize our census, our swing bed program. It's a program that's allowed to kind of level load our acute care census, so we're not having to send people home. Also, an area, surgical services has really been improved in the last 24 months as well. So been able to kind of stabilize the staffing models with that.
And, you know, obviously there, doctors and nurses are a large part of the staffing, but you also have, you know, the support staff too. Is that something that's easily kept, or is that something you have to recruit for as well?
Yeah, it's, you know, we always say you recruit when you get off the bus. You know, it's just constant making sure that you're running into people and recruiting. So whether it's EVS personnel, CNAs, RNs, we need all those folks to keep things going. Our facilities guys, you know, Pat Kirby's team does a great job keeping the operation and plant running here. Fantastic job. So always making sure that we come in every day, all the humidity, the temperature, the lights are on, all those things are happening here for us.
We're talking with Jason Hawkins. He's a CAO over at Peace Harbor Hospital, part of the Peace Health Group, and we'll be back in just a moment on this edition of Doc Talk.
At some point in her life, one out of every eight women will get breast cancer. One out of eight. Most women can beat it, but only with early detection. Don't let breast cancer stop you. Mammograms save lives.
Better total care. Peace Harbor Imaging now has digital mammograms. Get one.
With flu season just around the corner, now is the prime time to schedule your annual flu shot. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control recommend that everyone aged 6 months and older, and especially older adults, get vaccinated against the flu. Peace Health Medical Group in Florence has adult and pediatric flu shots available. Call 541-997-7134 to make an appointment for your flu shot today. It only takes a minute and helps protect you, your family, and the community this flu season. So call 541-997-7134 today.
I'm speaking with Jason Hawkins, CAO of Peace Harbor, Peace Health, part of the Peace Health Group here in Florence. He's been here just a little over a year now. He stepped in for Rick Yesney, who was retiring. And I have to say, I've gotten to know you over the last year, and I think you're a great addition to the community. We appreciate you know, the leadership you're bringing over there. But we also have some other people we can talk about, too. A community this size, we got a physician of the year, I hear. Is that something that's unique for someone this size?
Yeah, Dr. Stephen Kerner, who's our palliative care physician, was just named Oregon Network Physician of the Year here at Peace Harbor. Anyone who knows Dr. Kerner knows it's well-deserved. A number of providers over there that offer, you know, their time, their commitment, but what they offer is just some heartfelt care, and he's certainly one of them. Day or night, whatever you need from Dr. Kerner, he's been there for our community.
Is that one of the big numbers when they look at assigning this to a doctor is, you know, the over and above aspect of
Absolutely.
What they do?
Absolutely. Over and above, dedication for the community, you know, willing to put him, you know, put his patients first over and over again.
That's a hard thing to do, you know. I mean, because you keep busy that way if you're constantly working on keeping your patients taken care of.
Exactly. And his program and the other folks in the office there just do a fantastic job helping people towards the palliative care program and helping out our nursing homes and other facilities in town with those kind of services. Actually keeps patients from having to go to the emergency room that are unnecessary visits for everybody.
Just for me and for someone else out there who might not be up to, palliative care is a word that, you know, we hear a lot. What actually is involved in that?
Well, it's really a way of managing towards the end of a certain disease and really the progression of that disease, progression of their health, and the decisions that they'll need to make. It may not always be imminent. It may be something, but the understanding really the path and the journey that they'll have. And I think he does a great job, and his team does a great job in helping those patients and those families really understand that path and that journey and the types of decisions that they're going to need to make at some point in time.
One, I imagine with each patient, each path is going to be a little bit different. So producing a pathway for a particular patient requires a lot of work.
It does. It's really getting beyond the diagnosis and really getting into understanding that person's unique situation.
And so you said Oregon Physician of the Year?
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
That's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. So, yeah, so we got him. And also, you know, our women's health program is really starting to take off too. And, you know, Dr. Scully Serrano and Parker, those three folks are just doing a great job taking providing good women's care here. Our birthing program is showing signs of growth. And certainly women's health issues are always first and foremost for us here.
You mentioned the birthing program. I guess in a community this size, it can be kind of hit or miss how much you're going to need for the how many rooms you're going to need, how many people you're going to need.
Mm-hmm.
How do you prepare for it?
Excuse me. Yeah, we do a great deal of training, actually, a lot of simulation training with the physicians and with our labor and delivery nurses, because, you know, when you have, you know, somewhere between 7 and 15 deliveries a month, you want to make sure you're staying sharp in your skills. So we do a lot of reciprocation between here and Riverbend, Peace Health, and making sure that we're keeping our skills up to speed. We did the simulation training with that. So I think we're always looking to grow and get better, and I think we're getting better each and every month.
So is that where we're at, between 7 and 15
yeah.
a month?
Mm-hmm.
I actually think that's a lot, but then again, you walk around town, you don't see a lot of pregnant women. I guess I don't recognize that. But have that many a month, that seems like a fair share.
Yeah, I think that's a good number. Some months a little less than that, some months a little more. But yeah, that's a good solid number.
Well, then it's good to have a program that works. Then, yeah.
It is, and the partnership with Riverbend and Peace Health has made us very valuable. We were just discussing this morning about their mobile neonatal resuscitation unit that comes over. So if we do have an outcome and we don't have a neonatal intensive care unit, but that can be deployed and brought here to help with the mom and baby, and if need be, transferred to Riverbend. So it allows us to make sure that if things were to change quickly, that we're there for them.
Now, you guys are working on a program within the hospital of reducing opioid addiction there. And that seems to be something for hospitals of large and of big cities and of you know, big research hospitals. How is that coming along here? And, you know, who do we have to thank for that?
Well, I really think it probably starts with Dr. Ron Scheer, who is the medical director for the region here. Supports the work that many of our surgeons and nurse anesthetists are trying to put together. So it starts out with being, you know, listening and being creative and hiring some bright people that really have an interest in reducing opioids. And so I think the Suboxone Clinic that Melissa Moffitt's doing is really important. The use of Exparel is a non-opioid anesthesia by our nurse anesthetist is really good. And we just got approved last week for a cryoablation unit that will help with numbing some of the nerves so that even further reduce the need for pain management and opioid use. So anxious to deploy that here over the next month or so.
And again, we have to talk about the fact that this is not something that's required on a national level as of this point, right?
No, I mean, we're encouraged to look for alternatives. Sometimes when, you know, the incentives are such that when you look at certain things, they look like maybe they cost more money initially. But when you look at the total cost of care from, you know, prior to the surgery to, you know, even 6 months after surgery, if you can use maybe just a little more expensive non-opioid related solutions initially, that the long-term effects are much cheaper.
Right. And on the patient, too, the whether it's physical or psychological effects over time mm-hmm. also decreases.
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly.
Well, that's pretty cool. And I think that's a good program. And again, like I said, you know, I mentioned that because, you know, when you're on the cutting edge of something or when you're doing all the work to get something implemented like that, and it's not required, it says something about the dedication of the hospital and staff to improving patients' lives, I guess.
Exactly. Well, I think there's, when you're in a smaller community, you know, the compassion of care is always there everywhere, but we know a lot of these people, or we know at least the degrees of separation are zero or one in most cases. So you want to make sure we're doing right by them for sure.
Right. Yeah. Because it is, because you run into people all the time that you know from being at the hospital, or I run into people that I know from being in other things. So it's a very small town.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to make sure you're taking care of those.
Exactly.
People.
So. A couple other things we're working on. We have a pretty significant cardiology and radiology upgrade going on this year, about a $5 million improvement in expansion and services. So from a cardiology perspective, we're adding a new cardiac camera, a new echo unit that will be able to diagnose different aspects of your heart. And also the cardiology group is expanding their days here in Florence from Riverbend. So Oregon Heart and Vascular will be coming down more often, having a greater presence on the coast. Also, we're upgrading our radiology unit. We're getting a new MRI, a new 3D mammo, a new fluoroscopy unit as well. So we are very excited about the improvements that they're able to do. And we just actually got low-dose CAT scanner accreditation. And that will allow us to do lung scans and help prevent lung cancer. So really trying to shift our lens to having better technology, remain youthful in our approach to healthcare, and be able to be more preventive. And so if we can detect, have the highest possible equipment for mammography screenings, lung cancer screenings, colorectal screenings, so that we can detect things sooner for our community and then put in the treatment protocols and get them to where they need to go and have better outcomes.
Well, just a couple of years ago, they finished with a facilities upgrade.
Yeah.
And then now you're adding this new equipment. What are some of the things down the road that the hospital could use or is looking forward to maybe getting a hold of?
Yeah, I think next year, we as soon as we are finishing up the radiology, cardiology expansion, we are upgrading our lab. So about 90-95% of our lab testing will be able to be done locally. So Sarah Weber's doing a great job, you know, piloting that program through for us. So excited about that. So when we're done, we'll have, you know, the ER is a couple years old now. This year, we'll have upgraded radiology and cardiology. Next year, our laboratory will be upgraded, and we're also throwing in some additional equipment around our therapy services as well. But probably longer term, you know, we want to start thinking about strategic facility planning here at Peace Harbor in Florence. Right now, we are starting to run out of space in most of our areas. Mentioned all the providers that we hired this past year. We're now scheduling patients on Saturdays. So right now, when you come to campus, in addition to having the emergency room and the walk-in clinic, there's close to, you know, 3 to 4 primary care providers that are scheduling patients. So we're starting to open up our hours for laboratory, radiology, cardiology services on Saturdays. But point being, as we start to think about the needs of our community and how we provide those services, we're going to start to need to think about, you know, how we grow and how we continue to add additional capacity to serve the community in terms of facilities and growth that way.
Jason Hawkins is my guest today on Doc Talk. He is the CAO of Peace Health Peace Harbor Medical Center here in Florence. And we'll be back in just a minute with more of this edition of Doc Talk.
At some point in her life, one out of every 8 women will get breast cancer. 1 out of 8. Most women can beat it, but only with early detection. Don't let breast cancer stop you. Mammograms save lives.
Better total care. Peace Harbor Imaging now has digital mammograms. Get one.
With flu season just around the corner, now is the prime time to schedule your annual flu shot. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control recommend that everyone aged 6 months and older, and especially older adults, get vaccinated against the flu. Peace Health Medical Group in Florence has adult and pediatric flu shots available. Call 541-997-7134 to make an appointment for your flu shot today. It only takes a minute and helps protect you, your family, and the community this flu season. So call 541-997-7134 today.
On this edition of Doc Talk, I have Jason Hawkins here. He's the CAO of Peace Health Peace Harbor Medical Center here in Florence. Been here a year now. And one of the things is building partnerships within a community. And I know that Peace Harbor is working on some of those things. What are some of the things you can talk about yeah. as far as partnerships go.
Yeah, I think one of the things we've done this past year is also institute where we've been inviting some of the local businesses in for lunch. And we talk to them about what their needs are and what is important to them. And you never know where that conversation sometimes going to go, but it's a lot about asking them what do they need as an employer. What's important for their employees and their families? Is it screenings? Is it helping them to enroll and find out what physicians are in town and making sure they understand what services? So when they maybe hire a new employee that they're aware and that we're here and this is how you connect with a physician or if you need lab work, those kind of things. The other partnerships that we're working with is with Western Lane Ambulance. We're 1 year into our community paramedicine program, our mobile integrated health tech. And that program has really taken off for us. We've seen a significant reduction in readmissions. So oftentimes people get discharged from Peace Harbor. They go home. And then sometimes things aren't quite maybe what we thought they were going to be. So a paramedic will follow up many times with a visit just to make sure that they have any questions about their medications. Maybe there was a caregiver that's there, but maybe the caregiver's not available or maybe in that and making sure that everything's okay. And sometimes it encourages a home health visit or maybe a follow-up visit with their physician and really avoiding the need. And if we didn't do that, they might end up being readmitted. So I think it's a great way of just kind of making sure that what we thought was going to happen post-discharge is happening because there's a lot of things happening in that 24 hours before you leave the hospital, and not everything is remembered. And sometimes family members aren't as available as they could be. So offering that community paramedicine program in partnership with Western Lane Ambulance has been really important. It's also reduced some unnecessary visits to our ER, and also probably I think it's avoided some unnecessary ambulance runs. So I think it's been a real savings for the community, for everybody.
Well, because you look at it, and you know, like you said, the last 24 hours before your discharge, you might get a huge list of things that you have to do, mm-hmm. and you give it to a loved one who's caring for you, or you yourself have to look at that. And I've been in a situation where it goes, okay, now what order was I supposed to do this in, or what do I? And then to have somebody to help,
exactly. And sometimes the person who's helping gets sick. You know, everything seems fine, especially during the flu season, passing it around. So sometimes the person you're counting on isn't maybe as available as they could be. The other partnership that really is very, very rewarding has been the Western Lane Behavioral Health Network. And that network came together a couple years ago, had some planning grants. And this past April, May, we were awarded $600,000 to implement behavioral health services at both the Mapleton School District and the Suyaslaw School District. So we're working through that grant and compliance, working through a process to award those, the network awarding those services to a provider that will be able to offer care coordination services in terms of somebody comes in and they're looking for different things, what resources are available to them locally from a health and human services, also offering on-site behavioral health services and counseling services at both schools. And I think this comes at a great time when our schools are really needing that kind of support system across the country, and making sure that if things are starting to decompensate for a student and or their family, that there's somebody there on site that can help them with that. And so that's been a very rewarding project. We're working right now with the schools, and again, that's just getting started. But we've identified some conceptual space, and we're getting ready to award the contract to go out to who's going to be providing those services in our two schools. Looking at a start date sometime late spring, maybe at the worst case, the beginning of the new school year.
Okay. That's what I was going to ask next, is there an implementation time there for that? Yeah. So, well, that's pretty good there, and that'll help a lot of kids out, and parents too probably.
Yeah. You know, we always want to be looking for partnerships, and, you know, and smaller communities, schools are often the focal point of our communities, and you know, hospitals are as well, and so we want to make sure that we're tapping into those relationships, and you know, we always want to start moving. You know, hospitals were kind of originally formed by our communities, you know, in the 50s and 60s, and then somewhere along the line in the 80s and 90s, we became kind of an industry, and it's nice to see the pendulum starting to swing back to where we're realizing that our focus needs to be outside those four walls, mm-hmm. and our mission is outside the four walls. and reaching out to those patients that really maybe are not part of our system and not part of our network, but they need to be. We need to be able to get eyes on them and see what we could offer.
And also localize within the community that you're in as well, outside those four walls. Yeah. Anything on, you know, the health insurance thing? I mean, I know that you guys pretty much, like, you know, when you have to bill out to health insurance companies and stuff like that, I know that can be like a real pain for hospitals and things like that. And the return on investment necessarily isn't as well as it should be. Are things really up in the air as far as the relationship between hospitals and insurance companies now, or is that getting better, or is there still need to come a change from Congress to kind of make things more clear?
Well, I would say that as you look back over the last 10 years, I would say that the payers and the providers, the insurance companies and the hospitals and physicians, are becoming more like-minded in our approach to our communities. I think that there's, because of the Affordable Care Act and trying to offer more coverage and offer preventative services and those kind of things, that, and I think we're being encouraged to think differently. And, you know, I can remember 20 years ago, it was very difficult to get coverage for a screening of any type. And now many of the payers have those benefits available so that you can get a lung cancer screening, you can get a mammography screening, a colorectal screening. So I think as, you know, our job as providers and hospitals is to take care of our friends, families, and neighbors. And then sometimes, you know, historically the payers, you know, maybe there wasn't coverage, but we took care of them anyhow. And we did the best we could in trying to balance mission and margin. And I think I think the payers and the providers really are starting to think align their thought patterns on those. It's not perfect yet, and right. I think we got a ways to go. But you know, you see success stories going on.
And again, more of a turn toward preventative rather than you're sick now, we have to cure you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because doing screenings, allowing for screenings, things like that is something that's more a lot of times preventative.
Yeah, I mean, if you really look at the long-term benefit, you're catching something sooner. You have a better outcome for our family members. The payers are realizing that there's probably, from a business perspective, that's a better model as well. And from a provider, we always wanted to see that happen.
Yeah, well, you know, you pay out an insurance, you want it to be there when you're ready, and that's good that you guys are like kind of on the same page. Had to goad them along a little bit, I'm guessing.
Well, I think it was like anything else. You just kind of have to work towards the common goal that our focus should be our communities, and our focus should be on wellness and those kind of things. And, you know, we really have some exciting things that we continue to work on at Peace Health. We want to really make our job is to promote health and wellness. Our job is to have the healthiest communities we possibly can. That should be our mission.
Jason Hawkins, thank you so much. Have a healthy and happy Christmas and a New Year holiday.
Thank you very much. Glad to be back.
You have been listening to Doc Talk, presented by Peace Health Peace Harbor Medical Center. For more information on the program and services provided, visit peacehealth.org.